I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. As we continue our study on the incredible treasures that are ours in Christ, we have the treasure box of our wealth in Christ in chapters 1 through 3. We have the toolbox for our walk in Christ in chapters 4 through 6. And we are still in chapter 1. Because there is so much here and so many rich things to talk about, rich blessings that are ours in Christ. After you have found Ephesians chapter 1, I encourage you to take a look at the handout that I gave to you. In my course of study, one of the challenges that I faced was who is being referred to in this first chapter, in the first 14 verses. There are so many pronouns that are used, and it sometimes can become very difficult to understand and discern who is being referred to. So what I've done is I've done my best, and this is by no way inspired, but this is my best understanding of who is being referred to in this passage. I believe that this is one complete sentence in the Greek. So it's just one complete thought from the Apostle Paul as he is writing to the church in Ephesus. And I wanted to help us to understand what he was saying. In case you are having difficulty following it, the bold all caps would be referring to God the Father. The blue would be referring to God the Son. The green is referring to God the Holy Spirit. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I'm sorry if you're colorblind. But this is the only way I could figure out how to do it. So I trust that this can be helpful. This will be a tool for you to use to help you in your study, in your personal reading, as you go through this chapter with me. Let's pick up on this passage in verse 3, and we'll read down through verse 14 to get our context for our study today. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Amen. We have looked at the first half of this passage. We have seen God is generous in chapter 3 and his blessing us with spiritual blessings. We have seen God as sovereign in how he has chosen us to be his own, in verse 4, and how he has marked us out for the adoption of sons, verse 5. We have seen that God is good in the fact that he accomplishes and does these things for his good pleasure, verse 5 and verse 9. We see God as gracious, verse 6, he has graced us with his favor. In verse 7, he has redeemed us. And today, we are going to be looking now at verse 9 and following, as you see how God has blessed us with the knowledge of his plan. The knowledge of his plan. In verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. We see that word mystery, something that has been a secret in the heart of God, but yet was revealed. And it was revealed in and through Jesus Christ. It was made known unto us. And last time we were together, we talked about the incredible blessing that that is. The fact that God has spoken and has revealed to us his precious Son and the forgiveness and redemption that is found in him. What a tremendous blessing that is. Well, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. We need to understand something. We've already talked a little bit about the sovereignty of God. We need to understand the very position of God is that he is over all things, and that he does have a divine plan. He orchestrates things as he sees fit. And the scripture here tells us it is according to his good pleasure that these things are done. That word good pleasure could be also translated kind intention or good delight or good desire, good determination. Do you see God as good? Do you see the plan of God as good? The Apostle Paul in this passage is highlighting God's plan of redemption. He's highlighting the blessings that are ours in Christ. And that's one of the reasons for our handout, is to emphasize the importance of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and God's divine plan. You may wonder, why in the world does the Scriptures introduce God in three persons? We call them the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But you understand as you read the Scriptures that it is God's infinite plan to introduce himself to us through Jesus Christ and to work in our lives and live with us through the person of the Holy Spirit. But yet they are all one God. They are all God. These he has purposed in himself. In verse 9 on your handout, you will see there that I have at the very end, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. And I have that himself in blue, referring to Jesus Christ. And I wrestled with, is this God the Father? Is it God the Son? It's really not going to change much of the meaning of the text, but I believe it is speaking of Jesus Christ, because it is in and through Jesus Christ that God's will is being accomplished in our lives. You will hear me say, make sure that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just a part of the beginning of your spiritual walk. It needs to be the part of every day of your spiritual walk. Jesus Christ must be the center of your life. Marriages. I have opportunity to help folks in marriages, and one of the things when I pray for them, I don't just pray that they're marriages will be strong, I pray that they would be focused on Jesus Christ individually. That the husband and the wife would be walking in Christ. Because I have great confidence that as you walk in Christ, you will walk in a godly marriage. See, Jesus Christ must remain the center of our lives. Often, my wife and I will remind each other as we pray together or as we are communicating. We desperately love each other and we value one another, and we don't know what would happen if God would take us, one of us, home. But you know, one of the ways that we're trying to be prepared for that, if that were to happen, is let's make sure our lives are centered on Jesus Christ. Because if our lives are centered on Jesus Christ, we don't just fall off the earth when our spouse dies. It may be hard and difficult, and there may be some of you here that have experienced that. But yet Jesus Christ never dies. He never fails. He's always there. He's always strong. Jesus Christ is at the center of all that is being accomplished here in this first chapter. The great treasure that is ours is centered upon Jesus Christ. You know, one thing that I observed as I read this, these blessings have all been arranged by God the Father, all been arranged and put together according to His will. They have been accomplished by Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ accomplished or allowed these, made these things to happen in and through His life. And you see at the end in verses 13 and 14, you see that the Holy Spirit assures it for the life of the believer. God the Father arranges it, Christ accomplishes it, and the Holy Spirit assures it in your life. That's the great spiritual wealth that is ours. And dear ones, don't miss the fact we're talking about the one true God, the eternal creator of this world, and yet He has arranged His will and plan to impact your life and mine. He has sent His Son to accomplish it so that you and I might know His plan and experience it forever and ever. And He's given us the Spirit of God to go with us, to assure us that indeed God's plan will be accomplished. Amen? So God the Father, He arranges it. God the Son accomplishes it. The Holy Spirit assures it. Verse 10 in our passage, we read these words, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. You cannot miss the emphasis upon Jesus Christ. And as we're talking about how God reveals His plan, the mystery of His will to us, you see here that the timing is always perfect. We see here that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. Now, this is not He might, maybe. This is, in the Greek, this would be something that has not yet happened, something that has not yet been done or accomplished. And Jesus Christ, in the very end and consummation of the age, everything will be summed up and united in Him. Why is He so significant? Well, this very verse alone reminds us that everything will be summed up and gathered in one, all things in Christ, gathered together. Those which are in heaven, those which are on earth, even in Him. even in the sphere of Jesus Christ. Dear ones, we are a blessed people. God has revealed his plan to us, and it is being accomplished through Jesus Christ. And remember, where are you in this passage? What are you doing here? We are receiving the blessing. We're receiving the blessing. Who's doing the acting here? God's doing it. God's doing it. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. You know, in essence, at the cross, this was accomplished through Jesus Christ and then the death, burial, and resurrection. But at the consummation of the age, it will be visibly seen and we will experience it in person. All things summed up in Jesus Christ. Now, this should cause you to ask a question of yourself. Maybe you're here today and Jesus Christ isn't of real value to you in your life. Maybe you're here today and Jesus Christ, he doesn't play a significant role. For you to count your life upon Jesus Christ is a scary proposition, something you don't understand and don't really know if you want to go there. Dear ones, the Word of God is communicating here the blessings that are given to those that have believed in Jesus Christ. If these things are foreign to you and something you don't understand, then dear ones, it is time to trust and believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. For it is in that you experience the blessings of God's generosity and his sovereignty and of his goodness and of his communicating to us his plan. In verse 11, we see that in this communication of his plan, we see that we just how rich we really are. Because in verse 11, we see here, we get these words, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Another way you could say that is we were made to receive an inheritance. Or we've been given our share in the heritage. Okay, well, why do I get inheritance? Why do I get a share in the heritage? What inheritance? What share are we talking about? Well, this goes back to the very fact that you have been marked out to be adopted into the family of God. You are given the position as an adult son with full rights and privileges in the family of God. And along with that, you get the inheritance. Well, let's read on. In whom also, verse 11, and again, in whom, Jesus Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. Again, that word, same word, is marked out beforehand according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Let's talk a little bit about the inheritance. Acts chapter 20. Just turn with me briefly to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. This is in the midst of Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders, the last time he sees them personally. In Acts chapter 20, verse 32, he says this, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." What does this verse tell us about the inheritance? It tells us that it's going to be with all those who are sanctified. It's going to be with all of those who have been set apart by God through Jesus Christ. Your inheritance, dear ones, is going to be eternity. Eternity with the saints of God. Many of us, that carries great meaning as we have had loved ones go on before us. Our inheritance is with all of them that have been sanctified. Now go back to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians is just following the book of Philippians, which is right after Ephesians. Colossians chapter 1. In verse 12, we read this: giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I believe our inheritance is going to be time not only with the saints, but it's going to be in the environment of light. You know, you read about heaven, and you read about there's no need for a sun, moon, because the Lord is the light. We don't understand what that means. We have no concept. We count on the sun, don't we? We count on it. Our inheritance is going to be with the saints. It's going to be in light. Now flip over to chapter 3 of Colossians. Chapter 3, verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. What do we learn about the inheritance here? It's a reward. Yes, our inheritance is a good thing. It's a blessing. It's a reward. It's with the saints. It's in light. And now go back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 4. Let me pick it up at verse 3 for context. 1 Peter 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, now catch this, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. What do we learn about the inheritance? It's incorruptible and undefiled. It is free from decay. We don't understand that either, do we? Everything around us is dying and decaying, or has that potential eventually. The inheritance is free from that. I tell you, that's something to look forward to. Our inheritance, it never fades away. It's free from corruption, never fades away. And thirdly, in this passage, you see it's reserved in heaven for you. Now, let's just do it this way. The inheritance is reserved in heaven for me. Can you do that? The inheritance is reserved in heaven for you. You, individual. What an inheritance. It's with the saints. It's in light. It's a reward. It's incorruptible, undefiled, doesn't fade away, and reserved in heaven for you. Where is that inheritance It's with God forever and ever. We are rich. We are a blessed people. And so often we are so small in our vision as believers here on this earth that we miss the incredible blessings that are ours. And here in this chapter in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is opening up wide the true reality of what it means to be a follower in Christ. We are blessed people. We are blessed. Back to Ephesians chapter 1. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. You cannot miss the sovereignty of God in this. These things happen according to God's own will. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Praise of his glory is a term that the Apostle Paul uses three times in these verses. We see it in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We see it here in verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. In verse 14, we see, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Are we getting the idea? It has been arranged by God, and it is for God's glory. You know, we are a blessed people, and we can rejoice in the fact that, yes, I'm a blessed man, or I'm a blessed woman. But all of these things are designed to point the praise back to him, for the praise of his glory. You see, God's grace is in view in verse 6. You see, God's followers, Christians, are in view in verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory. How about an application there? Is your life to the praise of his glory? Christian, I'm not making that up. This was God's message. Is your life to the praise of his glory? Who first trusted in Christ. End of verse 12. You know what? Here is a description of the Christian that he's talking to. You are blessed. You are one who has trusted in Christ. Again, Jesus Christ is the focus. But all of these things have been accomplished by God, and you have trusted in Christ. You have believed in Christ because all of these things are accomplished in and through him. All right, so God has arranged all of this. Christ is the one who is accomplishing it. Now the Holy Spirit, verse 13 and 14, in whom you also trusted, that is, in Christ you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed. This is a passive voice. This is something that you didn't do. This is something that God did for you. You were sealed by God. And the Holy Spirit is the guarantee. The Holy Spirit is the assurance that, yes, indeed, God's plan is going to happen. That God's plan is valid. That the inheritance is truly yours. Don't you like how it says here in this passage, the Holy Spirit of promise?
Again, we're blessed people. And we've been given these blessings, and the Holy Spirit is the assurance of them. The Holy Spirit is described in the New Testament as one who, as the person of God, who comes and lives within believers when we trust in Jesus Christ, the Savior. He is our assurance that we are a follower of Christ. And it's for that reason that throughout the New Testament is referred to as, do you live as one who follows Christ? Does your life bear fruit of a Christian? Galatians chapter 5 speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 says, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. God has given us His Spirit as a tremendous gift. You realize that God is living within you, enabling you to live a righteous, holy life. Praise be to God. You, me, we couldn't do that on our own. Do you understand? God's got everything in this. He's put it all together. He's thought of everything. He arranged it. Jesus Christ accomplished it. And then He gave us the Holy Spirit to assure it and give us the confidence it will happen. Verse 14, the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. The earnest of our inheritance. He's the down payment, the guarantee, the pledge of future payment. Until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. And I believe here the picture is that there is the reality of redemption in through Jesus Christ, but that just initiated and that just began what's going to be consummated when we are all in heaven and the completion, if you will, of our salvation experience. You see, Jesus Christ, when we believe in Him, we are saved. We are saved. But the reality is we still live in a sin-sick world. And the picture here that Paul is giving to us is that, dear believer, there's coming a day when this salvation is completed in its perfection in the fact that you will no longer be in the presence of sin and under its power. Praise be to God. So we've looked at these first 14 verses and we notice that we are very, very small. We are receivers here of these blessings. We notice that God is very, very big. We notice that God has done everything for us. He even gave His own Son, who gave His blood, so that we might know the forgiveness of sins. You are rich, believer. You are rich in Jesus Christ. You are rich in Him. And the application is, live that way. Live as if you have all the wealth in the world that God could give. The eternal wealth that has value forever and ever. You're wealthy. I'm wealthy in Christ. God is so generous. God is sovereign. God is good. God has communicated to us His will and His plan. God has given to us His Spirit that we might be assured of the accomplishment of God's plan. God's arranged it. Christ has accomplished it. And the Holy Spirit assures it. God, I am humbled as I consider the content of these words and passages. And God, there are dear people here that are looking up at me as I communicate these things. And Lord, each individual heart is processing and seeking to understand these truths. God, the beautiful thing about the Spirit is that you can take these words and help each of us individually to understand them, and they apply perfectly in our hearts and lives. Lord, there may be some here that they just need to be reminded of the inheritance that is theirs. Oh God, delight their heart in the fact that they will be with the saints in light of the reward that is reserved in heaven for them. Lord, there may be some here today that just needed a reminder of Jesus Christ and the importance that he plays in everyday life. Not just in the beginning of salvation, but every single day. Some may need to be reminded of your sovereignty, that you are great, that you have accomplished these things for the praise of your glory, not for our own. Oh God, as John the Baptist said of Jesus, may you increase, may we decrease. In Jesus' name, amen.